From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In his studies in the life of Christ, Dr. Cairns has expounded many aspects of the Savior's earthly ministry. Now, in this final message, he pulls back the veil of heaven to show what Christ continues to do on the behalf of His people. Having been exalted to His throne at the Father's right hand, He reigns in grace, sovereignly applying the work He accomplished on Calvary and bringing to pass God's purposes on earth. It is an inexpressibly joyous thought for the children of God that we have a man in the glory. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this message entitled, The Ever-Living and Ever-Giving Christ. First, today's hot topic, Turning Kids into Atheists.
Last Christmas, an English newspaper heralded the release of a new film as this year's Christmas blockbuster. Other newspapers were even more effusive. Spectacular, cried one. Classic, boasted another, outshines even the likes of Potter and Narnia. The film boasted some of the film industry's leading stars. It was based on a trilogy of children's stories by a British writer whose works have garnered praise and literature prizes and have sold millions of copies. The writer is Philip Pullman, a British atheist who has made no secret of the aim of his works. Though the film toned down the overtly anti-God message of the books, it didn't eradicate that message entirely, especially since it may be taken for granted that the screen version must generate added interest in the original works. Those works are presented as a trilogy titled His Dark Materials. Each of the three volumes follows a carefully worked out course with a very clear agenda. The New York Times called His Dark Materials a thrillingly ambitious tale. It may well hold the most subversive message in children's literature for years. Now, the agenda that Pullman had is no secret. Pullman has gone on record repeatedly to say that he wants to kill God and introduce children to atheism. He told the Washington Post, I'm trying to undermine the basis of Christian belief. Again, he stated, my books are about killing God. Pullman hates God, the Bible, Christianity, and anything that he considers may support them. He also hates anything that cherishes the innocence of children, untouched as yet by such things as sex and adult themes. For that reason, he detests such children's classics as Winnie the Pooh and the Chronicles of Narnia. He reserves his most violent hatred for Narnia because those tales exalt children's innocence, and most of all, because he sees them as Christian propaganda. In Pullman's world, the world he and his publishers want to drag our children into, good is evil and evil is good. What the Bible describes as sinful or evil, he teaches, is good and liberating. Pullman mocks those, especially in America's Bible Belt, who have raised an alarm against the Harry Potter stories, and yet who allow his work to go unchallenged. He said, I've been surprised at how little criticism I've got. Harry Potter's been taking all the flack. Meanwhile, I've been flying under the radar, saying things that are far more subversive than anything poor old Harry has said. My books are about killing God. Despite this open hatred for God, and especially for Christianity, Pullman has continued to receive rave reviews. In Britain, the first part of his trilogy was awarded the prize as the best children's book for at least 70 years. Even the Archbishop of Canterbury got in on the act and opined that his dark materials should be included in the Sunday school curriculum. Let us beware and know what is going on. Not satisfied with merely writing and having his work turned into a film, Pullman has produced a DVD for 11-year-old children. Why atheism? This atheist is targeting our children with the propaganda of hell and is receiving all the help that the gurus of the arts world can give him. He boasts that he's flying under the radar. That must stop. Expose him and make sure his materials are not slipped in to the curriculum of either school or Sunday school.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, the emails, the phone calls that we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart with His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine. This is in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. containing some of the articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
I cannot explain the exercise of the Savior's power. I cannot tell you why the sovereign, loving, living Lord does this and allows that. All I can say is, even so, so it seemed good in the Father's sight. But I hope we will be wise enough to know that we are stupid. If you have that much wisdom, you've got a whole lot more than most people. If you're wise enough to know that by nature you're stupid, then you will know not to fly in the face of the all-wise God, because you can't understand what He's doing and why He's doing it. He is in the place of power, as we have read this morning in Ephesians chapter 1. God put Him at His own right hand. He's far above all principality and power and every name that is named in heaven and in earth, in this world and the world that is to come. He has given Him to be the head over all things to His church. He's given Him to His church, but He's the head over all things. That's the Christ of God. He's exalted to the right hand of the Majesty on high. That leads us to think of His enthronement there in glory. We have just read those words in Ephesians 1 once again. You'll see from these that He is the King. He is active and He's victorious. From the throne of God, for example, and I will be very brief with this, for again, you have a whole list of things that the Savior does. But for example, from the throne of God he gives the Holy Spirit. Acts 2 verse 23. By the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father of the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. It was Christ who gave the Holy Spirit. That's the action of the King who's in total control. According to Acts 2 verse 47, from the throne of God, it is Christ who sovereignly adds disciples to his church. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's his action. Oh, that we would understand this. You know, if we really believed that, we would spend a whole lot more time on our knees. We'd be a whole lot more at the throne. We'd be a whole lot more intense in pleading with this sovereign Christ to add souls, disciples to his church. Sinners are not saved by plans and schemes, even the best led plans of men. Sinners are not regenerated by the logic of the mind of the flesh. They are not regenerated by the activity of man or by the oratory of a preacher. If you have loved ones and they're tottering in the edge of hell, you need the sovereign Christ to intervene to save them. He can do it. If we believed it, we'd be praying a whole lot more and worrying a whole lot less. Because you see, it is Christ who gives both repentance and faith. Acts 5:31. God hath highly exalted him with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, and to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Who can break a hardened heart? None but Christ. Who can stir a dead soul? None but Christ. Who can give sight to eyes that see no beauty in him and no fearful flame in hell? None but Christ. He can give repentance. And he can give forgiveness. And as he said himself, who can forgive sins but God only? He can give forgiveness. He gives repentance and he also rules in grace. Psalm 110:2 says, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Now what I want you to understand is this, and it's important, that the Lord Jesus Christ did a work at Calvary. The old theological term for what he did there is called impetration. May as well expand your vocabulary one more word. Impetration. That's the accomplishing of redemption. But the Lord Jesus Christ now sovereignly applies the work that he accomplished at Calvary. And the impetration, that's the accomplishing, and the application are equally the work of the same Christ. And to use another big word, they are coextensive. In other words, he didn't die for people for whom he does not apply his work. He didn't give his blood for people for whom he refuses to pray and intercede. For whom he died, for those he intercedes, and to those he guarantees the application of his precious blood. The Lord Jesus Christ sovereignly applies his work. He didn't die for his people and then leave it to chance whether the work would ever actually be applied to their hearts or not. And there's one other thing that you can see about his enthronement, and that is that from the throne of glory, it is Christ who brings to pass God's purposes in the world. We're living in big times, evil times, uncertain times, uncertain to us. Always remember, I remember learning this from W.G.T. Shedd's Dogmatic Theology years ago, and it made a big impression. I never forgot it. The same event can be both certain and uncertain. Certain to God, but uncertain to me. There are things that are happening today that are very uncertain as far as we're concerned. People are worried about terrorism. They're worried about bombs. They're worried about weapons of mass destruction. They're worried about people coming over the Mexican border. They're worried about nerve gas. And anybody who wouldn't be concerned about those things is either lunatic or a fool. There's a whole lot to be concerned about. But never forget this. It's not some grand Ayatollah in Iran or Iraq or Jerusalem. It's not a terrorist leader. It's not a British premier or an American president who governs these affairs and overrules them. When you turn to the book of the Revelation, you find that John was weeping because there was the sealed book. What is that book? It is the unfolding purpose of God throughout the last days until the end of the age. And nobody could open the book. But listen, there came the word, weep not. Why? Because, and I'm summing up the name to get around the many names that are given. The Lord Jesus Christ has prevailed to open the book. And what is happening in the world, however distracting it may be to us, however concerning it may be to us, however uncertain the future may seem, what is happening in the world is that the Lord Jesus Christ is opening the pages of the book of God's eternal purpose, and He is still on the throne. He has been enthroned in glory. What's His employment up there in glory? We read in Hebrews 8, verse 2 and verse 3. Well, we read for 1 and 2. You can go on into verse 3 and you'll see that He's employed there. He's the employed in ministry, the minister of the sanctuary, serving the same interests in heaven that He served on earth. He's presenting His people as acceptable to God. And He's imputing His righteousness to their persons and to their service. There's a lovely text that I keep on repeating in Revelation 8 verse 3. That there was given unto the angel much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints. In the golden altar before God's throne. When you pray, do you ever pray and wonder, why would God listen to this? Do you ever wonder that? Why would God listen to this? I stumble, I stutter, my mind wanders. At times I'm so weary I can hardly get my tongue to move at all. My brain won't move. The prayers are so poor and puny. Why would God even listen to us? Well, why? Just imagine for a moment that your tongue is well oiled. Just imagine you're getting great liberty of speech. Just imagine that you are like the golden tongue Chrysostom, and you could pray as he could preach with beautiful flowing oratory. Just imagine that. And then ask the same question. Why would God listen to this? And I'll give you the answer. With those prayers is offered the sweet incense of something that is absolutely irresistible to God Almighty, and that is the merit of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2 and 5 that we are spiritual, we're lively or living stones built up as a spiritual house. We're a holy priesthood. We're offering up spiritual sacrifices, praise and thanksgiving and prayer. We're offering up our bodies to Him. Why would God use a body like this? Well, we're offering them up. And listen, they are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's His employment. He's employed as our minister in the sanctuary. He's employed in advocacy. We have an advocate with the Father. John Bunyan had the idea, not sure how well based it is exegetically, but there's a truth in it nonetheless.
Jesus Christ is our great high priest. He's always sustaining us by his prayers. That's true. But he says Jesus Christ is also our advocate. And for him, the advocate meant that Jesus Christ was there particularly to stand for our defense, to stand for our cause. And he drew attention to when Stephen died. What happened? He was lifting up his eyes and he saw the Son of God. Where? Standing. Ah, but hold a second. God said, sit. Paul says, he sat down. But Stephen saw him standing. I personally like to think that the Savior rises to welcome his people home. But Bunyan said, there is the picture of our advocate standing for us in the hour of our greatest need.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.